When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking healthy money habits for relationships.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
So it is the week of love, right? With Valentine's Day. And so I was kind of getting in the mood to talk about relationships. And last week we talked about divorce, which I know is not a fun topic to talk about. But this week I wanted to talk about a little bit something different. You know, how do you establish healthy money habits in relationships? It is always the number one question that I get asked all the time from you guys, from listeners, from couples that I work with is, you know, how do we actually do this thing in a relationship, whether you're married or you're just living together, engaged, you know, whatever it may be. It always seems like it is so fraught with just emotion and fear and stress and arguments. There was actually a survey out by creditcards.com, and I thought some of the results of the survey, I just had to share. Approximately 12 million Americans have concealed a bank or credit card account from their live-in spouse, partner, or significant other. And while that might surprise you, it doesn't surprise me because anytime I work with a couple, you know, there's always kind of that like side conversation that goes on where, you know, I'll catch the eye of one of the the people and the relationship, and they'll kind of give me that like, hey, can I talk to you over here? And I know it now. It always comes up. And then there's the kind of like, oh, you know, there's something in my bank account that I don't want the other person to know about. Like, can we just talk about it on the download? Can we talk about it after? Or I'll get an email before the session. Or I mean, I've literally seen just about anything. I've seen somebody actually like throw a full-on tantrum in the middle of a session just to try and divert from where I was kind of going with the conversation, because I was noticing some things in their financials and I was starting to talk about it. And then this tantrum just sort of erupted in this like fully grown adult person. And I thought, all right, well, they probably don't want me to talk about this. So I'm just going to do them a favor and I'm going to steer very far away from it. And the tantrum subsided. And then afterwards, you know, I talked to them and that was definitely why it happened. So it doesn't surprise me, but it really is one of the reasons why, you know, so many relationships actually break up just because of money. And it's just because of these, all of these kind of like hidden secret things. So the survey also found that more than 1 in 4 of respondents, 28%, have admitted to spending $500 or more without consulting their partner. Again, not a big shock. You know, if you're in a relationship, you may have done this. I have actually done this myself. So, you know, I'm in that demographic there. But I think the important thing really with that statistic is, you know, I think every couple should have a don't ask, don't tell amount, right? And what I mean by that is there is some dollar amount that you both mutually decide upon that it doesn't matter if you spend. So let's just say it's $100, right? So it doesn't matter if you go out and you go shopping or you go out with your friends and have a few beers or whatever it may be, and you spend $100, no big deal, right? But if you're getting into the like $150, $200, $500 range, then, you know, it does require a check-in with your significant other, because that's just the nice thing to do. I mean, especially if you share finances, you know, the worst thing that can happen is that one person is not honest at all and almost nearly bankrupts the other person. And I have seen good, great money habits in relationships, and I have seen terrible, terrible habits in relationships. And, you know, no matter where you are on that spectrum, there's always room for improvement. And what I've found, I mean, I talked about this last week in the podcast, it's not like we're doing heart surgery here, right? Or brain surgery or something really complex. I mean, it really just boils down to like communication, right? So can you communicate about what's going on in your finances? And can you be open and honest about, you know, whatever you want to buy or whatever you want to spend? For some reason, there's like this thrill, right? Like this thrill in spending something secretly. And, you know, a lot of times like you get away with it. It's not a big deal. The person doesn't know. You know, you may get that awkward question of like, oh, is that new? And then you go, no, I've had that in the back of my closet. Come on now. All of you that are listening, you have to have done this at one particular point in time, right? Especially if you're in a relationship. It's like how we're hardwired. So for the little things, you know, like a t-shirt here, pants, shoes, purse, not a big deal, right? But for big things, it actually does start to be a big deal. And a lot of times you, the one who actually went out and spent the money, it weighs on you more because you feel this like obligation and stress. And then, you know, so much time has gone on when you haven't said anything that then it's ridiculously awkward, right? So the survey also found that surprisingly, 1/3, 33% of respondents think it's fine for their significant other to spend $500 or more without asking. This was actually the most popular answer for the survey. So I think it is very surprising to me because, you know, I mean, if Jeff went out and spent $500 tomorrow, I mean, I would probably be like, what are you doing? I hope this was a good expense. Now, if it's like an emergency, right, and you have to spend that money, well, that's completely different. But I found that really interesting. So I think that really begs the question, like if you're in a relationship, like what is your don't ask, don't tell dollar amount? what is that? You know, what is the amount that is okay? And I think if you agree upon whatever that number is, then you have to be okay. I mean, you have to be okay with if the person goes out and spends $500 and that's your dollar amount, then all right. I mean, so be it, right? And they shouldn't have to have like the third degree when they come home and you find out that they spent $500. So the senior industry and analyst, that's my word I'm looking for, analyst, Matt Schultz at creditcards.com, he says, you know, keeping secrets in relationships is never a good idea. Like any indiscretion, what starts out as small tends to build. Spending $25 without consulting your partner, it may seem incidental. But when those purchases become much more frequent, or if the amount grows, it can wreak havoc on your accounts and your budget. And I think, you know, it's the trickle down effect that is really where things get in trouble, because it isn't just, you know, a little bit here or a little bit here. I mean, it tends to, when you have this habit in your relationship, you tend to do it a lot more frequently. And, you know, I even know there's a lot of couples that are even married couples that have separate checking accounts, and there's nothing wrong with it. You have to figure out what works for you. I'm not a huge fan of separate checking accounts. I am a fan of one giant checking account. If you want to have your own little small play funds, then go for it. But that's just me, right? That's just the, you know, sage advice, if you will, that I think really works to foster healthy money habits and to foster partnership and communication in relationships. But everybody is different. And if you're in a relationship where things are separate and it works for you and it's fair for everyone, then, you know, keep it that way, right? But still do some of these tips, like still set up the don't ask, don't tell amount, you know, still be openly communicating with your partner, because that's just what's going to lead to a better relationship. And who says that it's going to be that way for your whole entire life? Like, what happens if one of you, God forbid, is like disabled or something, right? And can't work. And so the other person makes the majority of the money. Well, it's not really fair in that situation to have two separate accounts, because the other person's going to need someone to take care of them, right? So I think it's just seldom in life does everything stay the exact same, right? So what works for you today might not work for you tomorrow. The point is just to be flexible. So talking about all of this, you know, how do we foster these healthy money habits? And I think number one, it starts with, no matter how long you've been together or how little of a time you've actually been together, it's what I call get naked with your finances. Now, I don't mean like take all your clothes off and roll around on the floor with your money. Okay, that's just weird. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about though is disclosing, you know, what you've got, what your credit score is, what your weakness is. What are you good at, right? All of these things are super important for the other person, because how can the other person support you and be a good partner with you if you're not really honest about this stuff? And look, I know it's embarrassing, right? When I first started dating Jeff, I had kind of still a mess left over from my divorce that I was fixing. And I felt really insecure about talking about that. Like, I kind of talked around it for a while. And then finally I was like, you know what? Here's the situation. Here's what I got. Here's what I'm cleaning up. Here's why that happened, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And of course he was like, okay, cool. I got it, right?
Life does not happen biweekly. So why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie. Or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So, why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts, and remember, stay safe.
Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meeting from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards, we'll remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, "What does money mean to you?" Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Probably helped that I'm a financial planner, and so he knows that I kind of know how to get the training wheels off again, right, and get up and running. But the point is that neither one of you are going to be in the exact same spot at the exact same time, right? And you're all going to have different strengths and weaknesses. And so it's important to know what those are and where you're at financially. And look, if you're the partner in the relationship where you have got it all together, please don't shame the other person. Please don't make them feel like crap. Please don't make them feel, you know, horrible, because a lot of times things happen to us in life and maybe we need that partnership to help us get back on track, right? So your strengths maybe could be, you know, greatly needed by the other person. So just be super careful when, you know, you're going to any shame talk around that. And a lot of times, ladies, you have a habit of feeling really inferior to the guys, and you shouldn't, right? Guys have made plenty of mistakes. I've seen a lot of money doozies done by guys. So look, we're both in the same boat, right? Let's just figure this out together. Another tip to really foster a healthy money relationship is to schedule regular money dates. But please do me a favor, make these fun. Don't make these things boring. Our money dates consist of wine, dessert, and a super quick chat about where we're at, what's coming up in the week, what's coming up in the month, maybe a check-in of our goals, whatever it may be, and they're calendared out. And I know that sounds kind of dull and boring, but honestly, right? If you don't put anything in your calendar, do you do it? I don't. It needs to be in the calendar. And a lot of people struggle with the money dates, especially at first, because it feels really awkward. But I promise you that it gets easier, and they go by really quick, kind of the more you do these things.
And if being in your apartment or your house or whatever it may be, like, brings up anxiety for you, get out of the house and diffuse the situation. Like, go to happy hour, or, you know, while you're sitting, like, waiting for the movie to start. I know that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes it's just about getting yourself out of a particular environment, and you're a lot more open and willing to talk about things. Now, I will say a little caveat here. You know, I'm all for having a little alcoholic refreshment involved when you're talking about money, especially in a relationship, because, look, you need maybe just a little, like, freedom to talk. But I'm not talking about, like, don't have this money conversation when you're, like, drunk, right? When you have had way too much alcohol and you know you have, that is never a good time to open any discussion about anything meaningful and significant. Hopefully you've experienced this in your past, but really nothing good comes out of it, especially if one person has not had anything to drink and the other person is, you know, tipsy or on the edge of being drunk. It's not going to work out well. So, you know, have a little beverage, maybe a few sips, just enough to loosen yourself up, but don't go crazy with this. Another tip is to just embrace the difference. So again, we all have these different money upbringings. I've talked about this on a lot of podcasts before, but our money habits are usually formed by the age of 7. So that's super early in life. And that means that, you know, by the time we get to, like, our 20s and 30s, we've got a lot of crap piled upon us. And, you know, we bring that all into a relationship. And so really embrace the different upbringings, the different strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, it's those differences that lead to the arguments. So really try to work past those differences and know what you're good at and what you're not good at, and be really willing to admit it. And if you're stuck there as a couple and, you know, you just keep going around and around and around with arguments, I'm a huge fan of therapy. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to therapy as a couple. Yeah, it's a little awkward at first, but, it, you know, that's why they're professionals. They're just a third party there that really helps you communicate and talk about things. And usually what you find is the reason that you're arguing about money is something so silly that it can be solved really quickly. So, you know, it's not a sign of weakness. I actually think it's a sign of stress when you're like, hey, I need help, right? It's like if you're struggling with your budget right now, or you're struggling with savings or paying off debt, you know, and you go out and you reach out to me or somebody else, you know, to help you. I mean, that's a real sign of strength. I know that you all love tuning in every day to hear my voice, but I'm sure you're not listening to this podcast just to hear my voice, right? You want all these tips. So, you know, the point is just don't be afraid to ask for help. And create a money reward system. And I'm not talking about, you know, going out and spending $500 every month just because, you know, you pat yourself on your back because you had a money date. But come up with some sort of reward system. Like, hey, if we do X, Y, and Z this month, if we save X, Y, and Z, if we pay off so much on our debt, if we, you know, if we just have good communication this month about money, whatever it may be, like, find the thing for you as a couple, create a reward system. You know, if we do this and we feel like we both got a passing grade, you know, I don't know, go out and get ice cream, or go to happy hour, or go to a movie, or I don't, whatever it is, you know, something small, but something that's a reward. And, you know, people laugh all the time when I talk about this, but I swear to you, there is something very psychological about attaching reward. I mean, think about when you were young and you had chores, and if you did your chores, you got paid, or you got, you know, to do something fun, right? That was your motivation to do the chore. So not that I want you to think about this as a chore, but the point is this, it works, right? So why not do it on yourself and forge, you know, a real trust relationship with each other? Trust is earned. Trust is not given off the bat. And so you also have to be willing to trust and to earn trust from your partner, and then also be willing to do what I call financial forgiveness, to be able to say, okay, like, all this stuff in the past that maybe has layered up and is toppling over on top of us, let's just forget it. Let's just burn it up. Let's write it out, burn it up, whatever you want to do, send it out to sea, send it up in the air. I don't care. Just get rid of it, right? And then trust each other again, because you're not going to win financially without trust, communication, and being open with each other. It's not going to happen. I can tell you that all day long, right? So those are the things that are really going to forge a super, super good, healthy money habit within your relationship. And lastly, just get some goals as an individual, but also as a couple. You know, make them monthly, make them daily, make them yearly. You know, think long term about your goals and incorporate them into the budget. But also in your money dates, like, have some time to dream, not just to think about short term, but to think about, like, what do you want your life to look like in 5 years or 10 years? And what do you need to do now to start, you know, marching in that direction? I mean, we're all so busy. We're all under a lot of stress. We're all working hard. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're running, you know, some crazy government job that's super important, they're all super important. We're all busy and we've got a lot on our plate. And so I think we don't take enough time to sit back and kind of dream and you know, tap back into that fearlessness of when we were kids and we said, you know, oh, we want to be this and we want to do that. That's really important as a couple because, you know, it gives you a direction and it makes you feel like you're a team. And that can help, again, foster a good money habit in your relationship. Healthy in relationships, they have lots of play involved. I mean, money doesn't have to be stagnant. This doesn't have to be something dry and boring and stressful and frustrating. You can make this anything you want. You don't like to call a budget budget? Change the name. Turn it into something else. Make it work for you. That's the point of this, right? But again, you need trust, you need communication, and you got to be willing, again, to get naked with your finances. And all of those tips, all of those things are what I have seen time and time and time again help foster super healthy money habits for relationships. So there's no better time to start now, right? This is Valentine's Day week. It's all about love. So start fostering some of these healthy money habits, and I guarantee you, you will see your relationship start to change right away. All right. As always, you can follow me on Twitter @ShaunaGame and Instagram @millennial_money.